it's that time again. Saturday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm T.C. Downey, your host, and my special co-host that hasn't actually made it onto the air yet, so that's okay. Hopefully he remembers that we made this agreement, 2 weeks ago, that this was when we were going to do it. In the meantime, a little bit of social commentary. It seems that over the past week, somebody has been putting a little bit of the aggressive pill in the water supply. Everybody on Sin seems to be, for sake of a better term, a little bit adversarial. Interesting, really. I've seen some really neat kind of pivotal intellectual matchups, or lack thereof of matchups. It's interesting to see different philosophical positions clash after, you know, having endured each other for a fair length of time. I mean, it's been a good solid year that, Sin's really been treading forward in terms of social interaction. I mean, it's at this point, I'm guessing almost a year and a half old. It'll be a year and a half old this January. And there's been little waters, little waves, little quakes happening all across the place since that time. But it looks like we might soon start to see some hurricanes and tsunamis and shit, if you catch me metaphorically. Interestingly enough, Satanism is probably only one of a few different religions that cannibalize each other. Lehi, I don't see Mr. King, so you might want to just go ahead and call in, and we'll continue forward. Well, I don't know, with whatever, just talking, and see if Jason shows up in a bit. I know there's roughly a 10-15 second delay between when I'm saying this and when you hear me, so that's all good. I did find it interesting that there's actually a 5 second delay from when I hear the lady announce that there's 5 seconds left to the show goes live, and when it actually goes live. I mean, according to my little meter here on the side, it says 10 seconds, as she's saying 5 seconds. So, kind of weird. Blog Talk Radio issues, technical difficulties as usual. If my mic's booming today, if somebody in the chat would let me know, that'd be awesome. I'm trying to keep it away from my face, but apparently, you either get one that works too well, or you don't get one that works well at all. So, again, 5 minutes of T.C. Downey rambling, and I'm going to have to put my foot in Jason King's ass for standing me up here, if that's indeed what it is. It might honestly be a technical difficulty on his part. Might have forgot that he's supposed to be here. We'll see, but in the meantime, couple of things I wanted to talk about. L316, orderofnineangles.net has recently launched a new campaign of sorts. They've got a live stream account up and going, and so there's 24/7 broadcast of material. I'm not sure if there's actually 24 hours worth of material there at this point, but knowing those boys, it won't take long for that to be the case. What's really interesting about that is there's a possibility, and I mean, it's looking like, unless it can't be done, it will happen. You will find the ooze doing a weekly broadcast on that live stream channel. So, again, orderofnineangles.net. Check it out. Their live stream account. Give those boys support. I always like them fellows over at L316. They're, keeping it sinister. take a drink off my tea and kind of chuckle because it's just me talking to myself, and I've managed to do roughly about 7 minutes of it. No real particular aim because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to spoil what me and Jason were going to talk about. I'd rather talk about something else if that's the case. Yeah, Lehi, I can give you a couple more minutes, man. It's all good. It's all good. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and throw out that calling number. It's 347-989-1371. While we're waiting for shit to begin, if you want to call in and tell me if you think my 66-second intro that I've just put together is too long, I'd appreciate that. Also, commentary on the outro would be good as well. Been trying to decide whether I want to do any kind of voiceover to it at all, or if I just want to continue leaving it just pretty much all music. There was a suggestion made last night on the Who's Occupied edition. The suggestion was that at the end that there was something indicating that we were about to start listening to the Who's. That way everybody knew, oh, wait, that's my cue to talk. And I could see that being possibly the thing to do. I guess while I'm here, I should plug eminentmind.info. I just put up a new blog last week, I think it was, or maybe not quite last week. It might have been sometime in the middle of this week. The belief paradox, just kind of my thoughts on belief and knowledge, the fact that you can't really get around either. They seem to be two, you know, strict opposing ends to the spectrum, but at the same time, again, you kind of can't untangle them. Unfortunately, to really know anything, to really understand anything at all, you have to be able to see all of it. And that, well, at least from the matter of perspective, means being able to step outside of it. And, well, we obviously can't step outside of the universe, so there are certain things that we just have to kind of go off of rational conclusion. And so that in itself is a belief. So all knowledge is kind of pinned to that, or at least that's the way that I understand it. Again, feel free to correct me. 347-989-1371. Again, you know, call in, commentaries appreciated. I'm just kind of rambling my mouth at the moment, trying to buy Lehi a couple more minutes. He's getting, you know, a couple lines of coke in his system, and you know, whatever else it is that he's doing, probably just the lines of coke and, you know, absinthe, and, you know, he's probably got to kick those girls out of his bedroom, too. Right on. Ah, we've got a would-be philosopher in the chat room. A little bit of commentary here. Leviticus says, define no. That's a great philosophical out right there. If you can't figure out a way to knock down an argument, ask for its definition. But no, I mean, I'm joking with you. Of course, the definition of knowledge is something that is provable or testable to be true. That's something that we can say we know. You know, we know the sun is bright. We can look to the sky and see that it's bright. We know the ground is hard. You can fall to it a couple of times and scrape your knees and these things. That's knowledge. So I'm just chuckling here. Again, the front page of Sin looks like a big bar brawl is about to break out, and I'm just completely amused by it. So, personalities definitely clashing. Different ideologies, different thought processes, just kind of all, you know, coming together in one big toxic soup. Lehigh, them better be some goddamn good eggs. That's all I got to say. 12 minutes of me talking to myself is ridiculous. By the way, while I'm thinking about it, everybody needs to pop onto the SimSite webpage and wish Mr. Jason King a belated birthday. His birthday was the 2nd of November. He turned 50. Or at least judging from all the gray hair in his goatee, I'd say, yeah, at least 50. I'm pretty sure that Timmis Hardcore might be a couple years younger than him. Blah, 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 blah. And while I'm waiting, I'm going to throw up the Creative Oddity Studios commercial and just play that.
Creative Oddity Studios!
Creative Oddity Studios. Stickers, t-shirts, skateboard decks, lighters, prints, posters, and many other fine pieces of merchandise.
It's some of the best damn artwork you'll find on the internet.
Creative assault and meandering of Jason Sorrell, T.C. Downey, and Vanessa Lee.
Coleman! What is best in life?
To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to visit Creative Oddity Studios.
Bondage art, digital manipulation, erotica, demon girls, fantasy, tattoo art, horror, occult, and we dare to call it artwork.
It's like candy, but for your eyes!
Check out our very popular books on the occult and Satanism, now available in hard copy and downloadable format.
Hoo-wah!
Check out our blogs on art, tattoo work, what life is like as a tattoo artist, social issues, philosophy, lowbrow culture in Austin, Texas, and eminentmind.info. You'll enjoy them.
If you can read!
Creative Oddities Studios, www.creativeodditystudios.com.
I like the naked girls.
Creative Oddity Studios.
Awesome. Creative juggernaut Jason Sorrell strikes again. Probably one of the most campy yet cool homemade commercials I've heard in a really long time. There's about 45 minutes left in the show, and so far I've given, I don't think, any real useful information. So I'm going to think about this here for a second and try to pick some sort of a topic that I want to talk about this morning. Look at that. Lehigh finished his eggs. What's up?
Yeah, yeah. These are some good eggs. I put some smoked sausage in there.
Some smoked sausage. That's definitely a Mormon thing, isn't it?
Maybe. I don't know.
No. Actually, I think it's kind of a northern thing, and it's really funny because people from West Virginia tend to chuckle whenever you mention smoked sausage. I don't know why. My ex-stepfather, he seems to think that it's an Ohio thing, that people from Ohio eat smoked sausage, but he chuckles every time you mention smoked sausage.
That's weird. I never thought it was funny other than if I were making a sexual joke, but yeah, they were just in the fridge, and I'm like, eggs would be good with sausage, so.
There you go. So I guess King either forgot or I don't know, got trashed or maybe he's getting some ass, but he apparently is not showing up because he's never been this late. So,
yeah, I mean, he was online sending a few minutes ago. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Oh, either that or he knew I was going to make a big deal about his birthday. And, didn't want to call in for that reason, but I don't really consider King to be that kind of bitch, so I highly doubt that's the case.
Yeah, who knows what's going on with him. I was really looking forward to him talking about the origins of Christianity.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I know that. It's just apparently not going to be today. So but that's okay, because to be honest with you, I was only half studied in what I wanted to talk about. It took me, I don't know, close to 45 minutes to actually figure out what it was we said we would talk about this time around. And, you know, of course, dummy me, I should have just skipped to the last 5 minutes of the show and saved myself some time. But I swore I said it sometime in the middle of the show and not towards the end.
Hmm.
But it turns out that when we do return to it, we're going to be discussing how solving all of this problem might actually move us forward. So,
solving the Christian problem?
Well, in general, just understanding the way that esoteric thinking develops, understanding the way religious thinking develops. I think that was kind of what we were more getting towards when we were discussing it at the end. And that,
right. Because Christianity may have started out as more of an esoteric tradition, and a lot of religion functions a lot better that way. But we've kind of gotten away from that. So we see a lot of problems because of it.
Well, I think to be honest with you, I think that all of it at one point or another kind of originated with this esoteric idea. You know, that's why I think that Hermes the Great, that's why I think he nailed it right when he was talking about the old principle, as above, so below. Throughout all of history, as far as it's been observable to me, religion has always been a reflection of what people are dealing with at the time on the interior. You know, it's just a way of externalizing it so that they can actually solve the problem. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but I myself have noticed most people, when given a complicated math problem, cannot solve it in their head. But if they write it out on a piece of paper in front of them, they get it right.
Yeah, you got to use symbols and abstract thought to lay it all out there so you can actually manipulate it and actually figure it out.
Right. I mean, it's only, you know, Raymond, like people like Jason King, that can walk around telling you what the exponential value of pi is and how it correlates to the net weight of a fly in some abstract mathematical formula without even having to look at it on paper.
Yeah, most people can't do that.
Yeah. Right on. So it's definitely 192. It's definitely. The Rayman joke. I
thought that was kind of funny because, like, it's kind of a stab at him for not being here.
Yeah. Well, I do this kind of thing with Jason. It's just our nature. And I take my pot shots and then call him a couple days later, and he usually goes, "Fuck you, man." And I'm going to go from there. But, you know, different dynamics for different friendships, I suppose. Last night I saw 11/11/11. Got to download a DVD screener and took a watch at the film. A lot of cool things in it, and in a lot of ways I was disappointed. So,
isn't that the one? Didn't Darren Lynn Bousman produce that?
To be honest with you, I don't remember who it was that produced it, so you could in fact be right.
Yeah, I think that's the guy. He did most of the Saw movies.
Right. Well, it was definitely, as far as content or plot goes, the plot was nice. It was cool. Predictability, though, towards the end of it, the predictability factor was up by like 1,000. It was pretty easy to see how it was going to end.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think at the very end, when you get there, that, oh, wait a minute, I might be wrong about what I've been thinking. But that's only for like half a second. And then, you know, well, they confirm everything you believed up until that point.
So what's the premise?
The premise of the movie is that 1111, the numerical significant time 1111, is this gateway that allows these other beings, I forget what they call them in the movie, but allow these other beings to come through to do something. Now, some websites that this atheistic writer, and I guess I should put that in there, this atheistic writer is looking at, because he keeps seeing this number and he keeps seeing these things. Some websites are suggesting that it's, you know, that this is an angelic passing, that these things coming through are in fact angels. But during the course of the movie, we're actually told by another character in there that it's actually a demonic thing, which, for somebody who doesn't have decent deductive skills, that might throw a monkey wrench in what's going on. But anyway, you have to check it out. You can find the torrent on Demonoid right now. I do suggest changing the file name as soon as you've downloaded it, because it is a DVD screener.
Oh, so you don't want to get busted. Okay.
Right, right. But definitely worth the watch. I mean, it's at least a new story, which is something I haven't seen. And shit, it's been a couple of years since any new stories have hit the mainstream movies.
Yeah, most just like redone shit.
Remakes and revamps and retwists and
sequels
and prequels and fuck other quills and yeah, but I'm sure people didn't come on here to hear about us talking about movies. So Lehi, what's good in your neck of the woods, man? What's new and interesting?
Well, I've got an idea for a website that I want to do. I kind of want to try something different than everybody else has been doing. I mean, yeah, we've got different forum websites and social networking websites. We've got the Ooze and all sorts of blogs. So I'm thinking of starting up a website. I've had the domain for a while, namesofsatan.com. And so basically what I want to do is I want to have a website where I kind of give the news of the online community. I go out there and see what other people are doing and write about it. So everybody, like anybody who's anybody, would get a plug. And, of course, it would be from my perspective, so, of course, this can be biased, but whatever.
Honestly, I like biased material better than I do that. Better than I do material that tries to pretend that it's not biased and present itself as being, uninfluenced one way or the other. I think it gives it a little more of a heartfelt, presentation when people just go ahead and put their fucking opinion in there. And there's it's 2011, getting ready to be 2012. If people can't get over the fact that someone's going to offend you at this point, really, you need to just quit fucking wasting my oxygen. You're going to be offended. Somebody's going to say something that pisses you off. You are not going to walk through life thinking it's all roses and fucking lavender with the scent of jasmine dancing in the air.
Yeah, besides, like, news that doesn't have a slant to it is usually pretty boring anyway. It doesn't really get any attention. You gotta have that factor in there. Yeah, you got to offend people to get attention.
Right, right. It's not just about getting attention. It's about being real. People can sense that. If you're trying to be all diplomatic about it or all PC, I'm more offended by somebody who's trying to be PC with me than I am by somebody who calls me a stupid mech. I mean, just...
Well, yeah, they're insulting your intelligence and your ability to engage. And it's all about authenticity at the end of the day, I think is what I'm getting from you. And that's something I agree with. People need to be more authentic.
So, I mean, it is what it is. Couple little things going on here on this end. It looks, and I can't say 100% certain, but it looks like the Ooze is going to be doing a little work with L316 here in the future. They've launched this live stream channel, and Mindfucks kind of hit me up with the idea of doing a weekly Ooze broadcast on internet TV. So that's something we're definitely looking to do. Anybody who's interested could just drop L316 in in their Google browser, and it should take you right there. But for those of you that need an exact web address, it's orderofnineangles.net.
That sounds like a badass idea.
It should be cool. Ooze on TV. I'm a little nervous because, I mean, I do a lot of talking with my hands and a lot of weird facial expressions and stuff that people don't normally get to see when they're listening to me talk. It's a way that I avoid doing that thing that everybody else seems to do.
I see. I don't have any problem personally with people moving their hands around when they talk.
Yeah,
I just figure most people do that anyway.
I guess it's just part of my training, to be honest with you, Lehi. I spent 12 years being prepped to do media interviews. And the company that I worked for had this idea in their mind that moving your hands around, swaying back and forth, moving your head, it was distracting from the actual message. I'm going to go ahead and make a comment real quick here to Zach's comment in chat room. He says, not everyone is as talented on cam as him. but the thing of it is that we can all last more than 2 or 3 minutes. So it depends on what you call talent really here, bud.
Yeah, I think, Zach, you should get in on this action too.
Yeah, well, absolutely, that would be fine. I'm trying to actually find out what the dynamics of this show are, because if it's just only one person's able to Skype in, then it kind of blows the whole thing away. But if I can get, like, multiple co-hosts and actually do a live video discussion, that could be really cool.
Are they doing that on, what's it called?
It's Livestream.
Livestream, okay.
Yeah, it's live stream. So I'm interested in seeing what we come up with. Right now I'm working on, I was asked to do a trailer video for the Ooze. So I'm working on ideas for that. I spent a little bit of time last night talking to Jason Sorrell about it. He gave me some good suggestions. The one thing I'm kind of leery about, and it also happens to be his best suggestion, is pointing to the Ooze as being where the real discussion begins. Now, I think that's a great notion, because that is, in fact, what we're trying to do here, is get a real discussion going. But my problem is that I also want to move a little further along that road and also be the catalyst of action. So it's a question of combining those elements and kind of putting it forward.
Yeah, words without deeds are dead.
Right on. Well, I mean, words without deeds, that's not even Shakespeare worthy.
Indeed.
Yeah. Indeed. So, I also wanted to make a little commentary. There's a thread going on Satanic International Network right now. Closes at the end of this month. This thread is asking you, the user, to name the biggest douchebag in Satanism. Now, what's comical to me is that it was kind of like putting bait out for a troll. And that troll finally took the bait.
Yes.
So just little commentary. Like I said, this morning the battlefields are getting hot and bloody. The wind is just right, and there's that eerie sensation in the back of everybody's neck. We've had some storms in the past, and Sin, I think we're getting ready to see some real global catastrophes start happening now. There's some people that are squaring up against each other that, well, inevitably will only end in butthurt one way or the other.
I wonder who will come out on top and who's going to be the gimp.
That is the question we're all waiting for.
Oh, as a side note, Zach finally got a vote on the douchebag thread by troll.
Right on. Well, like I said, the troll finally took the bait. Yeah, which I think that's kind of funny because it wasn't even Zach's idea, and I really, if it wasn't stated in the rules that there's not supposed to be any commentary on who was picked and why, I would actually pop on and kind of get the backstory. Yeah. Just to kind of rub it into, you know, into the face, because, you know, lists like these are trivial, they're unimportant, and, well, it's just purely fucking opinion. That's all it is. There's no
pretty much
basis, and it kills me. It kills me for anybody else to sit and think that they are so high up that they can categorize and give a rank and file to
it's so arbitrary too.
Precisely. It's just well, it's a load of pretension is what it is. So 26 minutes left in the show. Real quick, I'm going to throw out the call-in number again: 347-989-1371. Today's just an open platform since our guest of honor apparently misplaced the memo I sent him. And Lehi's here, you know, doing his civic duty, eating his eggs and smoked sausage.
Sausage. Everyone knows I like the sausage.
Yeah, but, like, awful. You know. Come out like the first 15 minutes of the show, man, because it's just really pathetic. I do not do well talking to myself, which I find is a good sign.
See, why? I didn't quite hear it cut out for a second.
Oh, I said I do not do well talking to myself, and I find that to be a sign, a good sign.
Yeah, I can't do it either. I would probably have like 5-10 minutes worth of material, and then I'd be done.
Yeah, well, I just seem really value in that point, except for plug a few websites and play the Creative Oddity Studios commercial. Yeah. Trying to think here, because there are a bunch of stuff that I actually do want to talk. Zach, if you will, man, fucking throw your headset on or something and Skype in, or fucking go outside and make a phone call. While you're here, and since there's really nothing else going on, I thought I might hit you up with a couple of different things and see what you were thinking.
Yeah, man, call in. We miss your voice.
Shit. He's probably like, fuck you, TC.
Come on, here. don't pull a JK on us and not call in.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Oh, sweet.
He's doing it. I had a feeling he would. Zach's always got something to say.
Oh, yeah. I was also thinking that you mentioned the L316 live feed thing and putting in material. I think that might be I know we talked about before playing music on the Ooze.
Right,
in addition to that, I was thinking I could probably send in some stuff to L316 if they want it.
Right on. Well, that would be between you and L316, but I don't see why they wouldn't want something like that. Although they are kind of aiming at, I guess, a Sinister Media channel, and
mm-hmm.
So I don't know how Sinister Music gets. I mean,
Well, that's kind of how I've been writing music lately, is trying to put in those messages. The last one, the sample I sent just about everybody, kind of had those messages in it.
Right on. Well, I think just, again, you know, hit up Mindfucks and see what's up. You know, I told them I'd start getting the word out on this live stream thing. And I think if we can do multiple Skype broadcasts or whatever, I'm going to ask Zach to co-host with me on that.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, since he's so talented in front of the camera.
Oh, yes, of course. Especially in his blonde wig.
Yeah. That could be, you know, I don't know how much time even that they're going to allot for it. You know, whatever it is, it'll be cool, I'm sure. So I haven't made an account there yet. I was reading through all the preliminary information on the website, and it seems pretty complex. But Zach's on the air, so I'm going to go ahead and pull him on. What's up, Gray Bush?
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
Are you at the top of your day or at the bottom?
I'm at the top. I actually have a job interview here in about an hour and a half, so I woke up, had a couple glasses of green tea, shot of vodka, about to jump in the shower, shower and shave, and I'm good to go.
Right on. Right on. Well, there were a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. It has been suggested that on the main page of the Blog Talk Radio show here that we move it from linking to Satanic International Network to the Ooze's new WordPress page, and then have a big banner on the Ooze's new WordPress page linking back to Sim. That's been one suggestion, and I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, that's cool with me, man. You know, the Ooze is your baby, and if that's what you want to do, I mean, I honestly don't think that the Ooze directs all that much traffic to the website, so I don't think it's really critical, you know, one
yeah.
way or the other.
I didn't think myself that the Ooze actually does contribute too much to the actual broadening of the user base at Sin. It's more like... Well, anymore, it's more like kind of the reverse. The Ooze has been drawing pretty good off of Sin. I know that in the past we've kind of left it as one of the features of the websites, you know, kind of an integral part of it. And I didn't want to, like, you know, do something like that and you be offended by it or anything like that.
No, I wouldn't be offended. I'm just curious as to know why you'd want to do that, though.
I personally haven't made a decision as to whether or not I want to do it one way or the other, but it was a suggestion made to me by one of the other co-hosts here on the show. I forget who.
Okay. What was the reasoning behind it?
The reasoning, they were looking at kind of unifying everything that's Ooze-related, and centralizing it to one spot instead of trying to spread it out. And I think the logic itself was circular, and that's why I haven't really made too much of a pressing issue about it. But, you know, it just seemed like something I would ask you about and see what you think.
Right on, man. Yeah, in fact, you know, that reasoning seems fairly sound. I mean, I could understand why somebody would suggest that. And, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Well, that, and it actually gave me a chance to create a vertical banner for Sin, which is something that I've been wanting to do for a while, but with nobody else to, willingly want to put up a Satanic International Network banner on more websites. I just didn't see a direct reason.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. I'd like to get the Ooze banner up on the Sin website. People, you know, now we have multiple shows, and it'd be nice to, you know, we could inform people what's going on instead of just dropping in the comments, you know, live in 5 minutes.
Right on. Well, that's why I've developed this Ooze WordPress page to actually make it so that people can interact and find out what's going on a little easier. So when I do drop that banner in there, what it'll probably do is to the Ooze WordPress page itself, or it's another option I can create, which will show what's coming up, which hit on it right there, sidebar. I could put that in there as well.
Cool. Yeah.
So, I mean, the problem is that right now we're at 5 editions, and in the future I'm looking at adding a 6th myself personally. It'll be an all-music hour. It's something that I've been batting around, but right now I'm looking for undiscovered talent, so to speak, to have enough to fill up a couple of shows to give me a few weeks of a head start and shopping for these different groups.
You know, I'd be interested in getting on the all-music hour where, you know, we could just upload some songs and play it kind of like a radio type thing.
Yeah, that's precisely. I was actually going to do a totally pre-recorded show, so all I would do is just pop in, click play, and it would go for an hour.
Cool.
Has any other artists or musicians been approached about this? Has anyone voiced interest in doing that?
There have been a couple of offers, I think like 3. But I've also been kind of digging myself as to who to ask, because a lot of times bands that suck will go, hey, play my stuff, hey, play my stuff, hey, play my stuff. You know, if you hit a band that's really good, you ask them, you know, first it's kind of and secondly, it just makes the quality of the music hour better.
Well, hey, guys, I'm going to have to let you go, man. I got to start getting ready for this interview here.
All right, yeah, just one last thing here, Zach. We do get to the point of doing this live stream TV thing, do you want to be the co-host?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in a live broadcast, a video broadcast.
Okay, all right, so then I'll see what I can get worked out with Mindflux, and we'll go from there, dude.
Sounds good.
All right, later, man.
There you go.
You know, it occurs to me with the Vertical Banner, since we have so many different shows with different themes, have you thought about doing different sections of the Vertical Banner having its own little block that reflects the theme of each show?
I've thought about it. The Vertical Banner that I'm developing right now, Lehigh, is huge. And I'll kind of do a spoiler here, because fuck it, nobody listens to this particular episode that much anyway anymore. But what my thoughts were, what I've been doing, I've been taking pictures of these co-hosts, and I've got them all cleaned up, and they look nice, and I've got them morphing into, well, there's one of two ways right now. They're either morphing just directly into each other, so, like Zach Black becomes Lexi, and then the Jason Sorrell, and then Jason Sorrell transforms into you, and so forth and so on.
Sounds pretty damn cool.
The other way is they actually transform into a demonic self first, in which I've demonized their image entirely, and then that demonic self transforms into the next co-host.
That actually, I like that idea better.
Now, it's cool, but the problem is with it that to make the morphs work really well, I have to have at least 15 frames per morph.
Oh.
So this size file gets huge, and the banner itself is 160 by 800.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's a pretty big banner.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a very big banner, so I think I'm going to cut out the demonized version and just move directly through the co-host to finish up the project.
Do you have a picture for me yet?
Well, I have a couple I've had my eye on Facebook, but none that are specifically what I would call prime working material.
Yes. Well, what would you look for in a picture?
Well, I like good lighting. high pixelation and a solid contrasting background. So if you took a picture with a white wall behind you, it's a lot easier for me to work with.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Too bad my camera sucks ass.
Oh, that part doesn't matter. I can do a lot of work. The main thing for me is getting that contrasting background. That is the most important thing.
That makes sense. Good thing I've got white walls. I don't really put anything on them.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't even matter if it was a pink wall, as long as it contrasted with you.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, so that banner was in celebration of the 2 years, and it's also going to kind of be a patch while I'm redoing the Ooze Media package. I mean, everything's so outdated at this point. It's ridiculous, and it's been suggested that the current logo is no longer fitting of what's going on in the show or where we want it to go, so I'm trying to develop a logo that's fitting of the show. And
you mean instead of the one with the brimstone symbol?
Yes, yes. Everything in that logo with the brimstone symbol is of ancient or of old. You know, the brimstone, some of the other symbolism that you'll find in it. And the problem is that the oozes focus directly on the future, not on the old. We'll take a little bit of time and talk about what's behind us. But there's always a going forward perspective that's being added to it.
Right. That's important. As we were talking about on another episode about how people can look at the past all they want and debate about what was said then, but it doesn't even really matter. You got to have your eyes forward.
Right, right. And that's, you know, the idea here that I'm suggesting is just unifying that idea in everything that we're doing. And this is a forward venture, you know. Nobody wants to sit and, you know, discuss what happened on the news 15 episodes ago. I mean, that would be kind of vain on our part.
Yeah.
But it might come down to that if Jason King misses another show, huh?
Yes. we're already falling into that trap right now.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Yes, I'm trying to think here. Well, 11 minutes left. What the hell else is there to cover? All kinds of good stuff. I mean, what did you think of the EA co-editing interview? I know you were present for that.
I was online and I caught bits and pieces of it. I was probably doing something else at the same time. I had some work to do, so I didn't get a good picture of what was going on.
Yeah. Well, from what you heard, did you have any particular distaste for it, or?
No, the guy seemed well versed in the topic. He seemed to know what he's talking about. It kind of reminded me of JK's 40-minute video about evocation. Did he go into that a little bit? About how there is definitely something out there. But the way we see it is limited to what our brains can process.
Yeah, yeah, he did touch on that. That's something I've actually, I don't know, that it's something that I found very difficult in itself to describe, per se, or give some sort of actual merited thought to.
Yeah, it's difficult because it's not the kind of thing that falls under current, what's the word? Having a brain fart here. You can't describe it using like our current science is what I'm trying to say. And our current scientific paradigm just isn't good enough to account for this.
Yeah,
it's not demonstrable. You can't show somebody this kind of thing. And so you can say, well, then it's probably just all in your head. Maybe you're crazy, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And you kind of run into those problems with, like, God of the Gaps, where you have an experience or you see something, and instead of trying to say, I don't know what that is, you say, well, I think it's this. But I didn't get the impression that he was trying to do that with such a thing.
Right, right. I mean, dude, dude was cool, in my opinion. Dude was definitely cool. Dude had a lot of grasp on things, and I think that the problem that I run into, and it's something that I was talking specifically about in that belief paradox, is that nothing that we can point to can we call concrete fact. Everything kind of dribbles back to this logical assumption, you know, like the logical assumption of gravity. What goes up must come down.
But what is gravity?
Precisely. We can only assume what gravity is, and they assume that gravity is, you know, these metal plates moving in the earth, and that's actually creating a magnetic sphere, but there are certain anomalies that happen within the actual phenomenon itself, which make that a shaky
right.
So
yeah, we can do is all really our science can do right now is we can point to what we are describing. We're describing something and in such a way that we can predict it'll behave a certain way again. But that's not actually what it is. What is actually the cause? We could say, I suppose.
In medicine, they often talk about it as treating the symptoms and not the disease.
Exactly, yeah. We're looking at the effects of something. We're not actually seeing that. I remember even in high school, like my physics teacher was saying about all the different phenomena around us. We're not actually seeing whatever we're talking about, like whatever the phenomena we're talking about. We're not actually seeing that. We're seeing the effects of what it is rather than the actual thing.
Right, and so that, of course, leads again and wraps around to the fact that all things knowable are built off of assumption. And that assumption, well, that's belief, and that's where the real paradox of it begins.
Yeah, I actually had a similar conversation with my brother, who's a Mormon, because we were talking about faith versus belief, and his point was that when you get down to it, how did it go? I guess we got into a little bit of a slipsism, like you have faith that you exist. And to some extent, maybe, but I say we do believe, I think we have some evidence that we exist. I mean, it's kind of self-evident, but yeah, you still run into those same logical issues where, like in deductive logic, you know, something could be solid, but but the first premise is usually based off of an induction. So when it comes down to it, we're not really certain about anything except for what we believe our senses tell us, and our senses, from what we can tell, are kind of flawed.
Right, right. And that, again, is why I labeled it the belief paradox, because it seems that, you know, belief is, it's ever-present. It's something you can't escape, but it is something that you can suspend. And I think the suspension of that belief actually leads us more towards finding a truth, if I can use that word loosely.
We could say gnosis.
Gnosis, yeah, that works. That's actually an excellent descriptor. And it's funny because this show has dealt with this topic on and off for, well, I don't know, shit, since its conception. And I really can't come to anything concrete or conclusive in my mind. In fact, the further I discuss it, the further I talk about it, the less sure I am about any of the ideas I propose.
Yeah, I've run into that myself. I try not to take too hard line of a stance on things anymore. I mean, there was a point in time where, you know, I believed something really strongly, but it was just mostly my emotions were what were driving that when it comes down to it. So it's like I have certain beliefs, but I'm fully prepared for someone to come along and shatter that. And maybe even they're wrong, but I just if somebody's more right than me, I might not say that they're 100% correct, but they're more correct, so I'll take that position over a worse one, I suppose. But how do you actually know something? That's something that I think people have been trying to figure out for a long time, is how do you really achieve that gnosis? Has anybody ever actually had that? Because it's not something you can demonstrate to somebody.
I will, at this moment, take just a second and point back to a statement made by our armchair philosopher in the chat room, Vedicus, in the beginning, and he said, define knowledge.
Oh, that's right. You were talking about that earlier. What was it that you said? I kind of forgot.
What I said was that that's an excellent philosophical loophole. It's a way out. It's a way never to lose an argument. Whenever you're making an argument in your mind and you can't figure out how to knock it down, the best move for you to make is to ask for its definition, because once it's been defined, you clip two ends of it, and now you have a model in which you can, pick apart. To talk about knowledge in the truest sense of what it is something I don't think that we can really get to. But if we give it a definition, if we give it something to contrast with, then of course it can be knocked down, because everything has its contrast.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that particularly so fanciful in the first place. I pointed to the fact that knowledge was something that was repeatedly testable for you.
Ah, so when you can achieve gnosis, you may not be able to necessarily show other people, but if you can test it with yourself, I guess that's enough. I mean, it doesn't really matter what people think necessarily anyway, so... Not that I'm opposed to hearing other people's arguments or opinions on whatever matter.
I think that's kind of the beauty of it. I'd get back to that whole idea that the idea of perfection itself is imperfect.
That's probably true. Yeah, that was discussed on the forums a little bit about there's no such thing as perfection. Well, actually, you know what? That kind of brings us back to when we were talking about Shakti and the other deities. We're saying that the deities themselves, or whatever universal constants are, could be said to be perfect, but they're meaningless and might as well not exist without that finite punctuation from Shakti.
Right, exactly. So with all that being said, man, thanks for calling in. It wasn't your tour of duty today, but you did it. And it's time for the outro, bro.
All right, have a good one, man.
You too, man.